Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for May 3rd in the year 2022. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call would like to say their names so that people listening to the recording later can associate a name to the voice, now is a good time for that.
Hi, I'm Sean Allen.
I'm Gord Tischer.
I'm Jason Carr.
Hi, I'm Red.
Just so you know, Jason, your mic's a bit quiet. I think we did hear you, but it was quieter than the rest. So just in case you want to do any adjustment there.
Classic.
So let's take a look at our auto-generated agenda. We've got no RFCs tickets to look at. So let's go ahead and jump into the Pony C repo. Pull request 4106, remove unneeded extra box and fun box definitions. So this is just, making these definitions match the pattern of just leaving the box out of fun box, because that's the default. This makes sense to me. I don't see any issues. So I'm marking it approved.
Two approvals. Wow. I will merge it.
I guess it's better to take the box out of the fun than the fun out of the box.
I'm not sure how to interpret that, but leave the fun in the box. Corner of the room.
Go sit in the corner of the room. I don't know how to interpret that. I just know that whatever it means, you go sit in the corner now.
Is that what Pandora did? Took the fun out of the box? Okay. Pull request 4104. Update ARCH 64 stress test to run on Ubuntu 22.04. This makes sense. Marking as approved. It looks good. There's also Linux x86 stress test update as well. Marking that one as approved as well.
That's 4101 for anybody listening along at home later.
And then we have 4100, update base image for glibc Linux Docker images. Let's see, there was a do not merge because there was no release image available yet, but it looks like it's ready to be merged now. Just looking at the changes again, it's just Ubuntu 22.04. Makes sense. Marking this one as approved as well. What's that?
I said, alrighty.
Alrighty. Moving on to 4055, update LVM to 14.0.3. This is from Gordon. It looks like, there was just some comments from the sync call last week, I think.
No.
Yeah, and I ran it with runtime bitcode, and the problem still exists, even with bitcode.
Okay.
So Sean suggested opening an LVM issue, and I'm just too depressed about that topic. I don't have the energy to open an LVM issue.
That is fair. Let's see. So it is interesting if it has the issue with runtime bitcode, that is very interesting. I'm just trying to think if there's any Yeah, we shouldn't need to mark these things as volatile. Like, I mean, somebody tell me if I'm wrong here, but yeah, this does seem like an LLVM bug, in the sense that if we're linking with the runtime bitcode, then it should not be our job to set the appropriate function attributes if LLVM can see the actual functions. So, I mean, if we set extra attributes that weren't true, that kind of would be our fault. But if we're, so I guess that's something that could be possible, is that we're setting extra attributes we should not be setting somewhere.
What was the first LLVM 14 that you started working on this with, that you saw this with, Gordon?
14.0.0.
Release candidate 2, it seems.
Yeah.
Do they actually give a full listing of all the changes? This is across changes to LLVM IR, changes to backend, changes to Go binding, changes to LLVM. I don't even know. We're still using the legacy pass manager.
Yeah.
I mean, for anything they put in release notes, I don't see anything that would be even minorly relevant, like this was an intentional thing.
No changes to any alias analysis or the like.
I don't see anything. Was there a 13 that we might have skipped over? Any 13 versions, Gordon?
I'm not sure.
What was the last 13 that we did? I feel like we were up to date. Looks like 13.01, 13.0.1 was the last one that they put out. So, and aren't we using that, I think? Yeah, we had updated to that. So this is something that had to happen during the 14 release, and there's nothing in the here that makes,
yeah,
that looks like it would be something.
It looks like they enabled Bolt, which is extra optimizations. Or no, not really a change there.
And we're not using it, so. Huh. Well, beyond my testing to see if there's a performance impact, which I could do, what do we say? What do we do?
I'm looking at the history. I don't know. there's a, I'm just like peeking through the history and trying to see if there's anything in the Git history for LLVM that would be more detailed than those release notes.
Yeah, that's quite reasonable.
What was the release date of the version of LLVM that we're currently using?
We're using 13.01, and that release date is something that I knew a minute ago when I looked. Looks like the release date was February 7th, but I don't know when it, like, what actually went in and what didn't.
Okay, but February 7th of this year, okay.
Yep, and the previous one was October 4th for 13, was when 13 was released.
Okay. That's actually a pretty short time frame. It should be possible to to crawl through that. Okay, yeah, I'm not going to do it live on the call. I'm as thrilling as that would be for all of our listeners, but yeah. Okay. I'll assign myself to this and I'll spend some time poking around. Okay. I'll add myself as an assignee. And I'll mark comment. And maybe in the worst case, I'll do git bisect on the LLVM repo, the submodule. Can you do git bisect on the submodule? I'm going to find out, I guess.
Yeah, it's a full-fledged repo, so you might have to re-clone it because of our shallow.
Yeah.
More shallow.
I'll re-clone it and then come back in a few days and it might be downloaded. okay, cool.
If you find anything that you want to try out, let me know, as I have the faster download times that I could try. So basically, if Joe found something and he wanted me to try it out because I could download quicker at a particular point in time, my understanding from looking at this would be is that it's basically just that that set volatile would be the only thing that I would need to remove.
That's right.
And how do I know that it works versus not works? Test fail without the volatile?
Yeah, the small finalizer, a couple of finalizer tests fail.
Okay, all right.
On Linux, right?
On both Linux and Windows.
Cool, all right.
Cool, so yeah, if you have something that looks really promising, Joe, and you're worried about the download time, let me know, because at least the build time, you know, I don't know what your build time is versus mine. You know, it takes me about, I think, 30 minutes to rebuild LLVM with the download, you know, so I could do it.
Okay. I'll poke around and yeah.
It's not like on the Raspberry Pi where it takes me, I don't even know how long. I just remember the last time I looked at it at 2 hours thinking it was going to be done. And then it was like, you know, 20% done. I was like, oh, right. This takes much longer than that.
Okay, so I will poke around at this and see if I can figure this out, because this is a major bummer if it continues to be a problem. I guess the other thing I'll try before I start crawling through LLVM history is I'll also try removing a bunch of attributes and running with runtime bitcode. Because if we are, it's possible, the only way I can imagine this not being an LLVM bug and being our fault is if we're setting a wrong attribute somewhere, and LLVM says, fine, if you say it doesn't read from this memory, then that's fine, I'll trust you, even though it can see otherwise. I know that LLVM sometimes changes the attributes though, so I don't know if it, anyway, but I'll try removing attributes and see what, if anything, makes it work. Probably nothing, but it's worth trying. Okay. I left a comment to that effect. And we're off to issue tickets in Pony C. We have 4102 memory leak. Following program will link leak memory, but it can be switched to not leak memory as noted in the comments. Okay, so this is the repro that I created for the bug that Adrian found and mentioned in Zulip.
Yep. I the only thing I changed was I made it really big arrays so that it's much clearer really quickly. Because the other yours will eventually stabilize with less than 100 megs of memory being used, right? You know, with a little bit here or there, depending on the machine, with, you know, oops, this ran a little slow, that ran a little fast. And so with yours, it's not immediate, it wouldn't be immediately obvious whether something had been fixed. But with this one, like it's above a gig and like, you know, is measured in seconds. And it shouldn't be, if this was working correctly, it should be, you know, 50, 60 megs at most ever, possibly. And probably even less, it would have to run for hours for that.
So do we have anything else we need to discuss about this one while we're together here? I know that the right approach is not necessarily clear at the moment.
So I've been thinking about this, and I think that your selector coloring idea, right? Where we need to treat these, even though we currently treat them the same, that we actually need to distinguish between them, that feels like the right thing. And then when we're compiling, we pick the correct one. I spent some time thinking about like other ways of doing it, you know, in theory of making that decision at runtime. And I don't think that we, you know, we can't, right? So I think your idea that you detailed in Zulip, and we might've talked about, is seems like the correct one to me.
Okay.
And if you still agree, then I think that the next step would be for you to, much better than me, write up what you believe it should be. It could get dropped on here and somebody can implement it.
Okay.
At some point.
Probably
either you or me, but who knows? Maybe somebody else will.
Yeah. And if anybody listening does want to try their hand at this and get deep in the guts of the Pony compiler and do some very useful, very interesting work, if anybody wants to do that, I'm more than happy to do pairing sessions or knowledge transfer sessions or whatever. So
I will say that if you wanted to grab something which is a sizable thing in the compiler to really, or, but at the same time, not be spread across huge amounts of it, this would be a decent one. I wouldn't call this a good first issue for hand holding, but it's like, compared to some things, it's reasonably focused in where you have to like worry about stuff. So I think it has that going for it.
Yeah, it's nice that you don't have to deal with something that happens early in the compiler that has profound implications later. It's kind of all happening at the end of the compiler, which is nice for not having to just trace across all the passes.
Yeah, I know that when I was fixing a bunch of stuff in the compiler, you know, a few months ago, that the things that I thought would be easiest were not always the easiest ones, because they were early on and resulted in a lot of things, you know, across passes having to change. And that ended up being like the hardest part was, you know, that it just wasn't localized. So this one, nicely, much more localized. And yeah.
All right. So yeah.
I'm gonna drop you as an assignee right now, and you can write it up. All right.
Okay.
And I'm going to put a note as such. All right. He's going to grab.
In the meanwhile, we will move on to, 4098 in the Pony C repo. This has already been closed because we merged a PR, so we'll move on from that. 3596, soundness bug / compiler crash. Match bindings should not be consumable unless the discriminee is ephemeral. This was a ticket that Jason opened a while back, and it came up again when somebody, I think it was Adrian and Zulip, encountered this in the wild and raised it back to our attention. Let's see. It looks like what Sean is looking for is test cases for validating that it's fixed. The initial test cases in the first comment of the ticket, do those work for that?
It's not all of the cases, because that's really only, that's like one segmented case. There's a second case that I brought up in the comments that also needs its own test case, but these are fairly easy to put together. This is from the Zulip.
I
just basically grab one of those examples.
I barely feel comfortable taking these and turning them into test cases. I think that more explanation around what would be the expected outcome for each is something that would help if somebody wants to dive in to get a better handle on it.
Okay. I can put up quite a few test cases, like good and bad.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
It's definitely a difficult one, because there's a lot of questions here, and it's probably not going to be just like a code fix, or we might have to because there's this balance of like things which we want to work, things which we don't want to work, and we don't want to have to like implement Rust Spar or Checker to make it work. Like, so it's probably not going to be an easy fix regardless. And the only reason I mentioned that was just because I heard like Dan, and I think my sound might have just vanished or something.
No, we still have your sound.
Nope. Oh, I meant the other way around. I didn't hear any. I heard complete radio silence, and I wasn't sure if I said something wrong.
No, we were all just deep in thought, I think.
Yes, and I was doing the search for one word, right? Because I was like, well, wouldn't this just fix it, like where the just is actually a really hard thing. So I went searching for that one word in there, and lo and behold, there's a comment from Joe, which yes, says something very similar from August 4th, 2020. I was looking at it, Joe, and I was like, huh. Nice place for flow typing.
Yes, flow typing. It's its own can of worms.
Yes, it is. It does make me wonder if something more minimal along those lines could be.
Yeah.
I also
there has still been recent work from research on handling disjointness.
We do a lot of things, Joe, with if blocks and everything where we don't have flow typing, right? Where we do have some rules around consume and whatnot, which it doesn't look for me from looking at these things like they're necessarily being done for those match blocks, which might cover in a broad way what we would need, where you could, if we were to, what's the term in the compiler where it calls it, where it's like the outer block of something ends up owning the consumes from the inner one. What do we call that in the compiler? I can't remember the term.
Is that the inherit flags?
Yes, the inherit one, right? I'm wondering if there's something where we're not inheriting with match, or we're not inheriting for a couple of use cases that maybe covers some of this, right? Where I don't know that it covers the, it doesn't seem to cover one where it's like, oh, look, we matched on a tuple, which is the same ISO twice, right? But for some others, it might cover some. Anyway, I'm wondering if it's, I would like to see, it would be great to see some of the test cases, because at least in my mind, maybe some of this is already covered, or maybe some of it at least is a bug in existing stuff. But what Adrian showed in Zulip, sorry for everybody who can't see that, which brought this back up, I don't think there's anything in the current compiler which would deal with that at all, right? But some things around this, which I saw as examples in here, I feel like might be a bug.
There is probably a hack that could be put together really, really quickly, which is that currently the compiler does support a variable of type ISO bang, and it treats it as though you can still call ISO like ref methods via auto recovery, which is perplexing. But you could in theory hack that together for the moment until those both get fixed. And that would actually block Adrian's case. But that's getting way out there. Should open a bug for that.
Nobody who's listening along is gonna understand anything we just said.
Anything okay. There.
Thanks. Yeah, but that's okay. It was very inside the compiler.
We can't call it ISO. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, no, there's literally. Yeah, you can't call it ISO because it's not a variable. I mean, we could go through some other bunch of other big changes and then do something like that. even with that, the invalidation via mutation, like the array pop and all that, is its own separate issue. And maybe that should be made into a separate issue on top of this.
So I'm... To avoid going down like that huge road, right? What I'm thinking about right now is, can we... Let's say that you couldn't, let's say that we fix this hole by saying that if you match on an ISO, what you get, or sorry, if you match on a non-ephemeral ISO, what you get in your let binding is a tag and not an ISO.
You can do that, but it breaks a lot of use cases. There's an example at the very top with which is generic, and we would love that to just work with ISO, but suddenly you just don't have it work anymore.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking of is, can those be solved by like, can we solve the desirable use cases with another pattern that has less problems? Like, for example, the use case that you showed, the desirable code in the first ticket, or sorry, the first comment in the ticket, like, if we wrote that as value as this arrow T, like that's the desired behavior here. It's currently going to just compile, like our as compiles down to a match. But if it didn't, if as was a first class AST that got carried all the way through instead of getting sugared to a match, which I think we wanted to do for another ticket anyway, then I think we could solve that use case without getting into having to name the thing that we are, like, I think the problem arises when we have to assign a name to the let binding within the match. And if we assign no name, if it's just a value in flight, that is like its type is transformed using as, which is a first class thing we carry all the way through, then we can at least solve that desirable code's need and probably many others.
I don't understand for how without flow, how do you use as to not create a new name for this thing unless you're doing flow typing? It sounds like you just described flow typing.
No. It's not changing the type of the variable that you match on. It's creating a value in flight that has the value of the variable you matched on and the type pattern that you asked for with as, or there's the error case, right? But it didn't match the type, but it creates a new value in flight, which has if you look at the code example that that Jason posted, the second code example in his first, like his original post,
yep.
If we took away the last four lines and wrote value as this arrow T, we got rid of the lowercase t name by doing so. And we're returning the value in flight, which comes from the alias of the value field.
That feels like a very limited set of things that we're talking about it being good. I mean, I can see other general uses for not just the one that Jason has here, but I mean, I often write things where it's like, this is a none or something, right? I'm going to do the none. I'm going to check, you know, if it's a none, then I'm basically just going to do nothing. And if it is my thing, then here's a block where I'm doing a bunch of stuff with my thing. And that's what I was thinking of when I said, oh, that sounds like flow typing. So it doesn't solve that one. And don't we still have the same problem then technically at that point?
I mean, so if you're just talking about like do nothing in the case that it's none, right? You could swallow the error with a try block. The error that arises from the as. Go ahead.
So that works if that works then for this or none, right? But not A or B or none.
You could do like one try block that does as for A and another one that does as for B, and maybe they're nested inside each other in some configuration. I mean, I'm not saying it's as good as having match, but
it seems like a lot of work for not addressing very many of the cases is what I'm saying. I think we can do better.
Okay. I don't.
I have more faith in us than you do then, Joe. All right.
Well, this is a really tricky problem.
I agree.
Solving it is probably like solving it the right way is going to involve a lot more research and probably a lot of changes to the capability system. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jason.
It would probably be best to make some changes there to better describe things. I don't think that they're necessarily required, in as much as you could have variables that count as ISO but are, say, not consumable. And that's already something that's like kind of well represented in the compiler and is not very much of a new concept. I think you can probably get away with that along with some extra checks without like it being extremely cumbersome.
You say that a non-consumable ISO is already represented in the compiler. Where is that represented currently?
I think variables that are not consumable, that can't be consumed for whatever reason doesn't seem like a strange concept to me. I don't know if there's a specific place, but I feel like this is the kind of thing I've seen around. At least, like, you can't consume fields, for instance. So I think that's a kind of a understandable concept.
Well, but
I don't have an example specifically for you.
But it can be invalidated through mutation. Like this comes back to the conversation you and I had about, like, if the ISO root is held by something that you're calling like a fun ref on, especially if it's like abstracted away through an abstract interface, so we can't see what the concrete implementation is. We can't actually check, right? We don't know that, like, any fun ref that you call could potentially be converting that ISO to a val. And I just don't see how it's tenable to have a non-consumable ISO be represented without, like, also going through a lot of other changes to somehow account for that possibility.
Yeah, see, that's the part that's kind of difficult. And that comes back to, like, we don't want to have a Rust borrow checker or the like. I think that necessarily takes a lot of work, the full solution there. There's, I think, almost two issues here. And one of them is the very simple one of just, how do we make this, like, common, maybe reasonable case work well enough? And then how do we handle validation? Because I think most of the cases where people are matching are our cases, like fields. And if it's your own, or not fields, but like either local variables, or they're like a field on the object, and on the field of the object, you can transparently see most of the access is to that, depending on like publicity. But if you have a private field, for instance, you can actually check, which is just still a lot of work, but in some sense, there are potentially solutions that are simple and conservative.
If you're inside of a fun ref, then you could export a ref instance of yourself to some other area of the code base that we can't see. And right. That ref instance could be used to extract and freeze the ISO into a val.
I would need to see an example, because you guys are clearly referencing a conversation you've had at some other point, so I'm not following Joe. I would be interested in seeing at some point the problem that you're referring to.
I think I can describe it a little bit, and tell me if I should just.
You could also write it up in Zulip too, or on the ticket.
The basic idea is that, in theory, what this match is trying to do, it's giving another, it's aliasing the value, right? It's aliasing this other thing that you're matching on, and it's creating this temporary name for it inside of the match block. And I think that's where the problem is. But if we assume that I would like to get rid of that, but if we assume that we don't want to get rid of it, like that's why I gave the suggestion as a way of getting rid of that and solving some of the desirable cases. But if we assume we don't want to get rid of that, so now we have, if you're just looking at the code example, that is the second code example that Jason posted in the original post in issue 3596. We have this class, it has a field called value. And inside, if you take that fun get and you imagine for a moment that it was fun.
I'm not gonna be able to follow this being said. Okay. To Joe. I'm already losing the train.
Thanks for stopping, pulling that cord on the train to stop it early. Okay.
But I am very interested when you have time to write it up to see what you're talking about. But that was already, I was just like, woo, oh, losing the train.
Anyway, I am not yet convinced that without, like, I don't know, without other, lots of other changes to how we represent ISO, and aliases of ISO, without a lot of other changes to that, I am not convinced that we can make this basic case work. That's why I would suggest as kind of a, like, so what I would say, my suggestion is we close the soundness hole by making it, you know, an alias, which it is, right? It's an alias. So it's ISO alias, which has to drop the tag because we don't have a type system right now that can deal with a stable reference to ISO alias.
Yeah, I was going to say the compiler type system does actually handle it for some reason.
But
it does actually just support it, but that's kind of a bug.
Yeah, like it's not a sound support, right?
I don't think it's, well, it doesn't cover this case here with invalidation, but there is no problem with supporting it.
Well, the invalidation
actually,
is the
no,
problem,
it would absolutely
right?
not be sound with the invalidation, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so what I would say the fastest path to solving this soundness bug would be to make it so that if you match on a non-ephemeral ISO, your let binding has to be a tag. And because it's an alias of the thing, like your let binding is an alias of the original thing you're matching on, which makes sense. It's just a lot less useful, but it makes sense.
Wait. When you say it's a lot less useful, what scenario other than I have a ISO in a field is it less useful for?
Any scenario where you have an ISO that you're not prepared to consume with the match, right? You could still match on ISO if you're prepared to make it ephemeral for the match value. If you're prepared to consume, go ahead.
It's just going to affect a lot of generic code. That's the thing. And putting in a temporary solution to that effect means you have a bunch of churn where everyone has to write hash alias, and they probably never remove it after it gets eliminated. And so maybe that's not the biggest deal, but it is probably a lasting impact.
Yeah. I would say that there are probably a lot of cases that could be rewritten using a first class as. Not all of them, but there are probably a lot of cases that could be rewritten that way. And so we could still support a lot of things soundly that way without needing to reinvent the ISO part of the type system to get there.
So maybe I'm not understanding something. So the problem, from Jason's example, the big issue here is that this is generic code, and that T could be an ISO, right?
Yes.
And we have an open ticket that was opened by me about the fact that we want to fix an issue which is related to this, Joe. Which is related in a way. Hold on. Let me find that issue. Okay. Here we go. 807 opened in 2016.
Ooh, yeah. Good year. 807.
I think this, I would call this related.
Because
that generic code is only problematic based on the ISO, when it's an ISO.
I'm still catching up. Okay, so I see in your second code example, you have a match output and you have let's see tag. I don't think it's.
Yeah, I'm reading through it again more. I don't think it's related either.
Yeah,
it's in the same general vicinity, but actually different.
Yeah, like this is like you want to be able to say T, you want to be able to say a type parameter and qualify that type parameter as having a different cap than the actual type argument that was given.
Yep. Yep.
Which, yeah, I agree is helpful.
So
yeah, on 3596, yeah,
Is right, and we don't know until runtime whether this is a T or a none. And
the tricky thing is, Sean, when we're talking about a validation, if I could just kind of sum it up for you real quick, if you did something inside that match block that extracted value from the class, so did like a destructive assignment, right?
In the match for the let T?
Yes.
You say the let T, if it did something where isn't this desirable code incorrect though for ISO?
Which one? The one that I wrote?
Yeah, the
incorrect in what way? So it's just that it doesn't give you ISO hat, it gives you just ISO, it gives you a temporary alias. So you can call methods on it. So the example would be like if you have an array of ISOs and you want to
call
a method on one of the elements.
Okay, I see. Oh, and I think this is starting to get back to Joe. I'm starting to understand the other conversation that I wasn't following at all before and what you were talking about.
Yeah, the thing is if inside the while you're holding on to that lowercase t,
mm-hmm.
you could extend his example to, let's say it was a fun ref instead of a fun box. You could extend the example to destructively assign to value. So you get the old t, which is you get it as a t iso ephemeral, mm-hmm. and you could turn it into a t val. And so now you're holding a val and an iso to the same thing at the same time. This is the invalidation that that Jason and I were talking about. Because you still have, you're holding on to that name T,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting rid of value to turn it in, like, so you're getting rid of the old name, but you're still holding on to a name. And the you thought when you got rid of the old name, that meant you could destroy it and make it into a val, but you're still holding on to lowercase T.
I would need to see the code for an example of that. I'm not following it. But I thought I was, and then I went and looked at it. I was like, no, I misunderstood something. So yeah, if you could get some example at some point, that would be great. I'd love to see that.
Okay. I'm just seeing if I can whip it up real quick because I think I can. So we say T2, okay. Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah, you have to remove this. Okay, so here is the code. I only add a couple comments. Okay.
Where are you posting the code?
I'm posting the code in that same ticket here in a moment.
Okay.
This is 3596. Where are we at? There it is. So this is me. Here's an example of bad invalidation of ISO invalidation that Jason and I were talking about on the sync call. And there's the code. Okay. So I have posted it. This is a small tweak on Jason's code from the first ticket, or from the first, the original post in the ticket. This lets you grab, basically, I didn't go through the complexity of turning it into a vowel, but what this does is it lets you have two
isos to the same thing.
Yep. Yeah. And neither one is the field, right? So you could consume either one and turn it into a vowel while keeping the other one mutable, and boom.
Yeah. Even if we couldn't consume the one that, now you could conceivably block all consumes in that body. Unless some property helped, but you're getting into potentially weird things. I don't know if that would necessarily be enough or if it'd be too restrictive.
Even without consumes, I could call a function and pass the destructive assignment result to that function.
Yeah, exactly. True.
And it could be beyond an abstract barrier where we can't do static analysis.
Yeah.
And this is why I say the way to make this nightmare go away is to say there is no lowercase t. There's no name for what you do. It's just the value in flight that as gives you. And that's all you can do for now until we come about with a broader conversation about how to represent borrowed ISOs.
Yeah, so that also comes back to that RFC. So you can actually see it in the mention this issue of
like
recover blocks with receiver and actually making rules that let us hold variables like that. That kind of goes into some of the like purely syntactic options, or the like in some sense more dumb options that you could do. But it's still very difficult.
Does the recover block with receiver, like if we took away the ability to let you use match for this, does recover block with receiver do something? Like if we, like I said earlier, if we made it so that a non-ephemeral ISO aliases to a tag inside the match block, does recover with receiver block save us somehow?
Not allow us to do, because generics, okay. you would want to have to apply the same rules to the match, because it doesn't, I mean, the way recover blocks act is not very generic friendly, I guess is the way to put it. In that you always have those same sendability constraints regardless of the capability, and like you don't have a way to refer to like the type that this thing could be recovered to inside the block or something like that, right? Because ISO would drop down to, ISO would turn into ref, and then ref would stay ref and val would stay val. And so you get kind of you have these changes to your types that you can't really talk about in the type system in terms of generics. Does that kind of make sense? Like there's no way to refer to T, but I want ref if I meant ISO, and I want ref if it was ref, and val if it was val.
Yeah. It's like a type constructor based on like basically like cap of T.
Yeah, or just you can't really, there's no name for that right now.
Yeah, so I mean,
you would want similar rules, like a lot of the rules can still be valid, but you don't necessarily want to write it unless all the types are inferred. And if all the types are inferred and you can't write them, that doesn't seem very ideal.
Yeah, I mean, to be clear, I do actually want to go down the road of like
proper support,
reinventing like the ISO part of the type system, but it's just a lot of research and experimentation, and then later hopefully some formal proving that would need to be done in order to make it work. What was that, Jason?
Or hopefully something that someone's already done for the most part.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you, the optimist.
Yeah. Or Verona Regions.
Right. Which again, it's just maybe not quite, but practically Rust bar checking.
All right. Do we have anything else we want to talk about while we're here together? We're at time.
That kind of melted my brain. But thank you for the written example. It immediately became clear what you were talking about.
Yeah. Okay. Glad that helped. Yeah. Okay. I will end the recording, and thanks to everyone who attended and those listening along to the recording later. We'll see you next week. In the-